It is Tuesday, January 13th, 2015, and here are the stories we're covering this week. From the Why Didn't I Think of That file, a 9-volt battery that adds Wi-Fi functionality to any smoke alarm. Toyota is releasing nearly 6,000 patents covering hydrogen fuel cell technology. Bluetooth wearables for babies. Think you're good at poker? Try playing against an opponent who cannot lose. That's what Canadian researchers have created. And an extra second on the clock this June may cause problems with computer systems. We'll tell you what to expect in a second. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Introducing Beltone First, a revolutionary new hearing aid. So small you can hardly see it. So comfortable you can hardly feel it. For the first time ever, you can control hearing aids directly from your iPhone. Pick up the phone, listen to music, and use your hearing aids like wireless headphones. Hear everything that matters. Try Beltone First. For a free trial, call 1-800-BELTONE now.
I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories from the Category5.tv newsroom. There's an enormous amount of connected home devices being shown off at CES this year, but one of our favorites is also one of the simplest. The Roost Smart Battery is the size and shape of a normal 9-volt battery, the type that smoke detectors use, but with a built-in Wi-Fi chip that allows it to communicate with your phone. Until now, if your smoke alarm went off when you weren't at home, you'd have no way of knowing unless a kindly or angry neighbor gave you a call. With the Roost battery, you'll get a notification as well as the usual ear-shattering noise from the alarm itself, and can turn the alarm off directly from your phone, which means no more climbing up on chairs, desperately trying to pull the cover off while also covering your ears, and hopefully the end of the dangerous practice of taking the battery out of the alarm while you cook. All you great cooks out there.
Not to point any fingers, Robbie, but I hear you burnt the chicken.
I thought it was the timer. Once the smoke alarm goes off,
it's ready.
The food's ready. The really excellent thing about the Roost is that it fits into any existing smoke alarm that takes a 9-volt battery. You don't need a whole new system to use it. That's a real plus for renters who wouldn't be able to install something like the Nest Protect.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Which I guess answers my question of whether or not it's actually a 9-volt battery, like that could be used for anything. And have the connectivity, or whether or not specifically for.
I think this is genius. This is smart. This is, like you said, one of those things that, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
Is this patented?
Better be patented.
Think about
it. Otherwise, they're going to get ripoffs left, right, and center.
We got the Roost, and now we got the Bruce. Okay, so 9-volt battery that powers the alarm is lithium, as you mentioned, and and so it lasts a long time. But so what happens when a smoke alarm goes off?
Yeah, so you...
It makes a lot of noise.
This is incredible. This is, I mean, the smoke alarm will make a lot of noise. Yeah. Your phone will light up. It'll tell you. You can turn the alarm off with your phone.
Right. But the battery itself has like an audio sensor. So when the smoke alarm goes off, it says to the battery, hey, there's something really, really loud. It's the smoke alarm. Time to notify the app and connect to the Wi-Fi. And so...
This would be really good for alarm systems, like home alarm systems.
Well, I'd hope that they would be connected anyways.
Yeah.
I hope so. I mean, froggy.ca would get you connected. Hook them up. But you get this is smart.
Yeah.
And that's probably why they call it a smart battery.
And
I just realized that.
The part I like the most is that you don't have to get up on a chair to turn the thing off.
My poor dog is horrified at the smoke alarm. Not that I ever set it off. I was smart and I mounted it right at the kitchen entrance. That was wise.
Yes.
The toaster is in proximity to that. But
yeah.
All right.
More That's about cool. the battery.
There's more.
More. We are not done with this story. It uses a lithium ion power rather than the usual alkaline, which means, as Robbie said, it'll last 5 years instead of a typical 9-volt battery's 1-year lifespan. The app is available on iOS and Android, and the Roost battery is available to pre-order worldwide for about $40 or £26, depending on how many you order. My guess is the more you order, the less it'll cost per unit. And it will be delivered in the second quarter of this year. So affordable, smart. I like it. Next story is the car maker Toyota has announced that it will freely share almost 6,000 patents it owns covering hydrogen fuel cell technology. Sharing is caring. It said it took the step in a bid to drive development of cars that use the alternative fuel source. The announcement was made soon after it showed off its Mirai hydrogen-driven car in Las Vegas. The patents will be made available free of charge to anyone wanting to use them. The patent portfolio covers fuel cell stacks, high-pressure hydrogen tanks, software control systems, and the industrial processes involved in generating and supplying the gas. Bob Carter, Senior Vice President of Automotive Operations at Toyota, said, "When good ideas are shared, great things can happen." He added that the first generation of hydrogen fuel cell vehicles, which are expected to be launched over the next 5 years, would require unconventional collaboration among car makers, governments, power firms, and researchers. Toyota's move follows that of Tesla Motors, which shared its patent portfolio in 2014. Way to go, Toyota. Like, I really like the idea of technology advancing and being open to so many different ideas.
Collaborative. I think that's the key word. Collaborative engineering. See how she finishes? We work well together. I think that's what's going to drive.
Intended.
That's going to drive the innovation, because what would have happened had gasoline-powered engines been patented when automobiles were invented? Well, who gets to develop the cars?
Mm-hmm. That one company.
So it doesn't make any sense. Sometimes technology should not be patented, or at least should be openly available as far as the patents go.
Yeah, because if it was just Ford who was making cars, it'd be a huge monopoly, and
be falling apart.
There'd be all of these cars all over
the road. There would only be Ford, and they would be crappy because there's no other car companies. Cars are patented.
No Audi. What? No Volkswagens.
Das
Auto. No Toyotas.
Oh, no.
Come on. What a world.
I'm really happy to see that the technology is advancing away from gasoline-powered cars.
Yes.
True that.
So, way to go, Toyota.
True that.
And Tesla. All right. Here's a great story. A baby's cries may no longer be a parent's first clue that something is wrong. Bluetooth and wireless-equipped pacifiers, patches, and bottles were on show at CES. The futuristic parenting aids will fit in mom and dad's pocket. Want to monitor the temperature of a sick child? Just fasten the temp track, a flexible patch that works as a digital thermometer. For 24 hours, the patch will send temperature updates to any smartphone, yours, grandma's, or the babysitter's, connected to an accompanying app. If the child surpasses the preset fever level, the app will send an alert. Matt Rehm, the company's vice president of marketing, said, "In the middle of the night, if your child's temperature is spiking, it can alert you to that." That's just one of many new or improved baby wearable technologies showcased at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Robbie.
Hi.
Questions, comments, thoughts, concerns?
Did you say new improved sarcastically?
Okay. Let's just take this back like a few billion years. I don't know when mammals first became, you know, but I just...
How did we go into this?
Why is it that now we need help figuring out when our babies are sick? I am sorry. I think that this is ridiculous.
Okay, well,
I love the technology.
This is a technology show, Sasha.
I have to talk about the technology show.
I love the technology in a setting like a hospital. But when you're already well, baby, or if and a child that's critically ill, but there's no need to send parents into a panic about the fact that their child might spike a fever in the middle of the night.
Okay.
I don't like this.
Just slap a cancer-causing patch onto it.
Okay.
I'm gonna show you something. People at home, just in case you're thinking this is a good idea. Healthy.
Yay!
No fever. She's good to go.
Okay, and here is the other thing. This is the sometimes I have like a little dark side thought.
All right.
And so your baby gets sick and you don't have one of these patches, the fever patches, on its pacifier, and you bring it to the hospital and they give you the rundown because you're an unfit parent because you haven't been tracking this
you
child.
Haven't been using the app that tracks its temperature.
Your child isn't plugged in. What about those parents who don't want their kids to have a pacifier? Or the parents who want
Kid who doesn't want a pacifier.
Now all of a sudden you're going to probably have diapers that have like digital readings on whether or not you're getting the accurate nutrition.
Okay, and there's a problem with that because somebody out there is patenting that and thinking that's a great idea.
No.
You know, oh, look, the baby's wet. I got to go change it.
Yeah, and the baby got enough liquid today.
But how impersonal is that as far as parenting goes? And I don't want to get into a parenting rant on a technology show because the technology is great. But seriously, I fear that this is what it's kind of coming to. You see, when you go to the park, the parent sitting there looking at their phone instead of their kid, and the kid saying, "Daddy, Daddy, look at me! Look at what I can do! Look at what I..."
You know,
and they won't even go into the bedroom to check your temperature anymore.
You know what's funny? That dad probably has a camera strapped onto that child. So instead of watching what the child can do, he's probably watching on his phone through some camera enabled.
I can see what you see, son. Oh, dear.
I do not like this. Not one little bit. Okay. On to much better. Gambling. A team of researchers from the University of Alberta, Canada, have claimed they have solved the simplest form of poker with the creation of an algorithm that could make sure they could not lose. The researchers do not claim they've created a constant winning formula, only that the computer program performs moves designed not to allow it to lose, a strategy the researchers claim is closer to a break-even version of the game. So, now you can't play poker against me because I'm from Canada. Publishing their research in the popular science journal, the researchers claim the poker playing community could rethink some unpopular strategies they have proven and create a higher winning percentage. Not all the revelations uncovered by the creation of the Cepheus algorithm were shocking, with the research team proving the dealer does hold an advantage over all other players. The research team believes this is the first time a computer has been developed that is capable of playing a perfect game in an imperfect environment. Problems for the program include not knowing which cards an opponent holds. I'd like to say a problem with any poker game is if you know what the other cards are, you're cheating. The research team has placed the algorithm online for the public to challenge and play against.
On poker.com? Like,
exactly.
Don't play this guy. He will rip you off of all your money.
Following the rules laid out by Cepheus should lead to no player losing until another makes a mistake that they can capitalize upon. Wow. So, yeah, you just can't lose. So why play?
I would be afraid hearing this news of somebody using this kind of technology to win online.
Yeah. Right.
Now, don't worry, because they are Canadian, so they're honest and trustworthy.
Well... Could never quite tell.
Yeah, never quite tell.
They are from Alberta. Yeah. No kidding, Colleen.
You never know. Oh, what, is that a Colleen jab?
Okay. Give me a second here for this next story. June 30th will be a second longer than any other day this year. A leap second needs to be added in 2015 to make sure the time on atomic clocks stays in sync with the Earth's rotational time. But some internet companies are dreading the day. Earth's rotation has been slowing down by about 2/1000ths of a second every day. But atomic clocks, which are now accurate up to quadrillionths of a second, don't change pace. While this situation isn't an immediate problem, it would eventually cause clocks to become so out of sync with the Earth's rotation that they would read noon during the dead of night. In billions of years, that would be true. The solution the solution that the International Earth Rotation Service, or IERS, came up with is to add a second every now and then to keep the standard atomic time in sync with the Earth's time. This year, the extra second is scheduled for the midway point in the year at 11:59:59 p.m. Coordinated Universal Time on June 30th. If you are born June 30th, your birthday is extra special this year. This will be the 26th leap second added to a calendar year since the practice began in 1972. In the past, the extra second has messed up with computer systems. The last leap second was added in 2012, and it caused big problems for companies like Reddit, LinkedIn, Gizmodo, and Foursquare. So to explain that problem, it's during the leap second, the computer clock shows 60 seconds instead of simply rolling over to the next minute, or shows the 59th second twice. The computer sees a leap second as time going backward. The machine registers this as a system error, and the CPU can overload. There are subtle irregularities.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, exactly. There are subtle irregularities in the Earth's orbit from year to year on the millisecond level. Every few years, some fine-tuning is needed, and a leap second is added in June or December. This is why June 30th this year will have 86,401 seconds instead of 86,400. Please let me know if your birthday is June 30th. Wow. I just don't know how important it is, to be honest. Robbie?
Well, Streger, for example, in the chat room, making mention that it's not just the computer and internet companies, but also satellite communications could be affected. People are concerned about possibly airplanes being affected by this, because if the computer thinks, oh, what just happened? Mm-hmm. Because there's really, it only happens, it's happened, what, 20-something times
yeah.
in all of time?
Yes. Well, why not just let it ride? It's really not that big a deal, in my opinion. Because
do you think it's going to take a billion years
before
it's off
that much? I think
it's
going to take a really long time before noon is in the middle of the night. And
Sasha?
Truth be told.
Yeah.
Well, as we all know, time boggles my mind anyway.
Okay.
But
what time is it in Bermuda? Is it like March 10th?
The Earth is slowing down right now, but who's to say it's not going to speed up later, or we're just going to have to add seconds on or subtract seconds, or, you know.
It's just taking a rest. As Dreamweaver909 is saying in the chat room, it's just the Earth is getting tired.
Yeah.
When I'm tired, I want somebody to just give me a couple extra seconds in the day so that I can just take it a little slow.
Right.
But I just
I have a question.
Oh, you do? Okay.
How does the Earth slow down?
Here's my answer to this.
It's global warming, people. It's global warming.
The Earth probably is not really slowing down. We've only been tracking the Earth for a while.
Yeah.
Right? So it probably goes through this all the time. It's probably just, you know, it just goes slower sometimes and faster other
times.
Does
Sasha have a theory?
Let it ride.
Sometimes it goes faster, sometimes it goes slower.
Just give it a pacifier with a little...
Because we're moving through the galaxy, right? And so the magnetic poles of different planets against our planet are going to affect the rotational speed of the Earth. But you know what's going to happen if they don't add this millisecond? It's the same thing that happens because I made fun of global warming a little bit, but the fact is when, you know, it's a little bit warmer this year than it was last year, and so everybody thinks, oh, well, there's this big crisis going on, and, you know, well, how long have we really been tracking it? The same stuff going on for years. Well, if they didn't add the leap second, would it be 5 years from now people saying, how come it's getting bright 15 minutes earlier? Or this or that, or you know, something's different.
I know.
And really, it boils down to our mathematical genius as a human race that we can't really get it precise. So we have to add a little bit here, like the leap year, every 4 years to accommodate 365.24 days per year. We have to add a day because the mathematics are off.
I think so. Why don't we just add 2 days every, you know, like 20 years or something after all these seconds add up? I really...
Because then we would never have a white Christmas. It boils down to having a white Christmas.
To only those in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Okay. For all your tech news with a slight Linux bias, visit the Category5.tv newsroom at newsroom.category5.tv. For the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.